Hi, Brad. Welcome to podcast number 85, the first one in, gosh, what, 2 years?
Has it been that long? Oh. My word.
Yeah, I think it has.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, what made you stop doing podcasts? If you care to answer, if you don't want to, that's okay. I don't mind. It's not important, actually, but just curious. And what precipitated the beginning of them all over again?
Well, I guess why I stopped doing podcasts or didn't feel inspired to do podcasts anymore was because I wasn't really thrilled with the direction they were going, and I thought we needed some time to focus in on personal, each other, focus on personal growth and see where we could go without podcasting. And it started to become a routine rather than a passion and a desire. And I don't think that it's worthwhile for our audience to just listen to the same old rehash over and over again. I'd like to bring something fresh to the table.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, and
that will go ahead.
And I think it's time for something fresh, and I think there is something fresh to be said. I think that the material on the website is starting to go in a different direction, and or I'd like to see it go more or so in a different direction, and which brings me to my call. The first article for this podcast is How Can I Know I'm Right with God? And do you recall that article? Or I know a lot of times when I put up articles, you go, oh my gosh, I don't even remember writing that.
I recall writing it. I don't remember the content, but I'm sure you'll bring it to my mind in a hurry, particularly those things you have peaked with.
Yeah, okay, well, why don't we just jump right in? And in the very first paragraph, you start off with a statement where you are, in essence, pointing towards certain activities as the method of getting right with God. And the activities you list is scurrying about, knocking on doors, handing out pamphlets, presenting the religion or church, or perhaps a passage from sacred writings of the one religion we believe is the place where we can get the answer. And when I read that, it seems to me that the target of this list is a very narrow focus. That narrow focus would be some form of evangelical Christianity, because the items on your list are definitely part of their religious practices, whereas they're not necessarily part of other people's religious practices. Evangelical movements do all these things. I'm not sure if others do. I think the Jehovah's Witnesses also do this type of activity. But if we look at world religion, I want to know, why have you decided to focus on such a narrow group? I mean, if there's in the world there's hundreds of paths, and you're focusing on these guys.
Well, maybe that's where my particular anti-religious focus shows up.
Okay. So I think in the form of Christianity, at least Catholicism is probably the largest sect or group of Christianity. You know, they don't do these activities. Why?
I beg to differ with you.
Oh, I've never seen a pamphlet come to my door.
Well, some do. You live in Canada, Ryan, and you Canadians have different experiences than I do, perhaps. But there are a number of Catholic groups that are quite aggressive in their quote marketing techniques, and to me it's immaterial, whatever it is. It's just that everybody, it would seem to me, everybody has their own little groove of wanting other people, and I'm the same way, wanting other people to experience what they're experiencing. And because what they're experiencing, and this is all I meant by it, and I'm glad you posed it in the way you did, because I'm not focusing on evangelical Christianity. I'm thinking of several different groups. I'm even thinking of one Hindu group that's quite prevalent in the United States, which has a, to the thought of many people, has a rather peculiar way of getting their, to use your term, evangelical endeavors out, and that's a chant on the street and wear funny looking robes and have shaved heads. And I'm not critical of that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's what we do. That's what religions do, is we scurry about doing whatever it is. And scurrying about is, yeah, maybe that's carrying it too far, because even the practice of counting beads or meditating or prayer or whatever can be the same kind of scurrying about without ever finding whatever it is you're scurrying about to do. The point being that instead of zeroing in and focusing on what will change me, I have a tendency to want to go outward and get other people, because it's lonely here, get other people to share the same beliefs I do. Now, that was a thought that was crossing my mind when I wrote that. So, so I'm just begging to differ with you a hair as to my purpose.
Well, actually, you're in some ways agreeing with me, at least from what I'm picking up. The key points of what you just said to me was that you want other people to join you in your mechanisms and thought processes because you like the camaraderie or the group feeling or so on and so forth. And so that you are evangelical, except you're just not evangelical in Christianity necessarily. You're evangelical in Brad's version of Christianity, the, let's call it, Boltonism. You know, I mean, we can call it whatever we want, but the words that you use, you select specific words further on down. You say, feeling devoid of that presence and power. I mean, those are typical evangelical or Pentecostal terms. Are you just another branch of Pentecostalism or evangelical? Presence and power? The presence and power of God is upon you.
I love it. What I'm saying, I love it, is that you're back to your old, are you trying to inflame me, Mr. Bruce?
No, I'm just trying to understand why you're doing what you're doing. And you've explained to me that you are evangelical.
No, what I'm saying is, I didn't say I am evangelical. I'm saying that I think that's a general application of everybody. You want to convince people of your truths. I want to convince people of my truths. Else, why are you having this conversation with me right now? You're not interviewing me so much to find out what it was I said or meant, but rather to impugn upon me what I just admitted was a general proclivity of millions of people, and that is want other people to join them in their beliefs so they don't feel so lonely. And I'm just saying it's a prevalent condition. Is that where I am consciously? No, that's not my intent at all. However, I'm just acknowledging we have a tape player going on. It's a recorded message in our inner being that keeps cropping up and having us do things. And I'm just admitting that I'm probably coming from the same basis. So that's all.
This is you're just expressing through your filter. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I would say that's one way of putting it.
Okay, so your filter is predominantly Christian, but your language is somewhat inclusive in this article, in that you bring up other religions and their forms of expression, and it sounds like you've experienced other forms of evangelicals, but your language filter is predominantly Christian. Would you agree with that?
I would have admit that, sure.
Yeah.
I spent many years first sitting in a pew, then understanding I couldn't stand what was going on, so I wanted to get an education enough so I could be accepted by some denomination or another with which I could identify, who would give me the credentials to preach and teach, and that my dogma and their dogma was not that far apart. So, yeah, I admit my background is Christian. Now, what's interesting to me is you, I feel, of all people, being my publisher and buddy and friend and so forth, that we have in our relationship over the last 15, 16, whatever's going on years, has been a similar background. Mine was just longer. In fact, if you don't mind me poking at you, the first time that we met face to face. Well, our first meeting was on the phone. You called me and said that you'd been told you were coming to the part of the world I was in, and you were starting with a new position as a president or vice president or some officer of some segment of a larger corporation, and somebody in that organization had told you about me, and because you were concerned about bringing your family, your wife and your two young girls at the time, and kind of yanking them out of their spiritual roots, which at the time was a church there in Vancouver. And when you called me, you said that, if I'm misquoting you now, this is how I remember it, you said, well, I need a pastor, I need, something like that. And I told you over the phone that you picked the wrong guy. I said, I think you need a friend, but come on down, and when we see each other, let's see if we can be friends or something to that, of that nature. And then the next thing I know, when we met, you had brought up that, if I recall, we were in a kind of a coffee shop, open coffee shop in the West Indies, and you had brought up the conversation about being a friend, and after we had spent 15, 20 minutes, and again, this is how I recall it, so I want you to correct me, but as I recall it, I said to you something to the effect, well, I don't think I can have that kind of relationship with you because you have a religious spirit. And frankly, I don't want to have any part of that, or something like that. Now, that's convoluted somewhat because I've heard you tell your part of the story. But I've just heard recently from you that something that blew me away, that it hadn't registered with me before, even if you'd said it, was that you were actually intending to be a pastor, one of the pastors of that church, and it was either come down to the West Indies and work for this company, or take a position as a pastor. And that flat blew me away. So anyway, have I misstated any and all of that?
No. But that's an awfully long story to get to what point. I mean, that's a historical event. What's your point?
I'll tell you the point is, I feel, whether that's correct or not, I feel you're upbraiding me for being an evangelical in my Christian orientation, when that's what your brief roots were as well. Mine, I admit, were deeper. And I'm saying, so what? And how does any of that refute or get in the way of what I wrote in the article? I don't think you're dealing with the issues in the article. I don't really remember what they are now, but you're saying they come from a bent, and okay, so I've admitted the bent. Let's move on.
Well, actually, there is a purpose to my side, okay. this question, and the purpose kind of goes like this. In many of your articles, you take a run or a swipe or whatever you want to call it, a poke at Christians, and yet in many articles you come across as Christian. And so there seems to be either a hypocrisy or a mix-up or a misunderstanding then on my part, because you make it very clear and very plain in most of your articles that you are not a Christian, and yet your language is Christian, your references are Christian. So I have to say, I'm not sure I necessarily believe you when you say I'm not a Christian. If it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, maybe it's a duck. You could be a goose,
well,
I guess.
Yeah, well, fair enough. What you're objecting to is a dichotomy that you're seeing. And it's not hypocrisy, for if it were hypocrisy, I would stick to one or the other. And what it is it's both. What I am, above all, is a follower of Jesus, both present and past. His words were in the past were what first, I'm going to use the term, illuminated me to something that was totally different. You and others always want to know, why do I take such pokes at Christianity? Is that your question?
No. All I'm saying is I know why you take pokes at Christianity, and you've published that in your articles many, many times. And it's based on, why do you do what I say? Why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say? So I understand that, but what I get confused in is okay, maybe you're doing what he said, but you still walk and talk like a duck. Quack.
The reason I posed the question the way I did was I was going to go in a slightly different direction than apparently what your agenda is, but and the direction is that I don't throw Christianity out the window any more than I throw Islam or Hinduism or Zoroastrianism or Buddhism or you name the religion, nor do I throw out sex, S-E-C-T-S, lest anybody misunderstand what I just said, of Christianity, such as Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or Seventh-day Adventists, those groups that so many Christians feel are cults. And, I come from a perspective that truth comes in not only all kinds of varieties, but nothing is absolute truth. There's 5% truth or 95% truth. And Christians want to lean pretty heavily on what Jesus was recorded in saying the Bible as, and that is that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father or the Source but by me. And the way they interpret it is not the way I interpret it. And so the reason I take pokes at Christians is because they're totally into exclusivity. But then I have to say everyone is, to whatever degree, and that's the point in the article. And we all scurry about trying to point out our truth. And what I hope to say in any article I write is, hey, all of them have truth. It may be 5%, it may be 95% truth.